I like that line in there. And I think there's something to be, God, your goodness is running after me. But what does that tell me? That evidently I'm running away. And maybe we just need to stop running. And when I stop, I think the scripture says, and I think Johnny can quote this one, just be still and know that I'm God. And if God's goodness is running after me, why don't I just stop? And I realize the goodness of God and what He is going to do with me when He catches me or when I stop running. Today we're going to talk about God's, continue on the doctrine of God the Father, and we're going to look today at God's sovereignty and what exactly does that mean. And basically, it means this, a single power or authority, what it is. And God is the one single power and authority. God is, not anybody else, although others think they are. Although there are kingdoms that think they are, although there are country leaders that think they are, nobody is sovereign but God. Do you hear me? Nobody is sovereign but God. And He is in control. He has complete power. He has complete knowledge. He's everywhere. All these things we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. But, you know, I think a lot of times what happens is we picture God, or we picture Jesus especially, we picture Him as being this weak, kind of timid, small guy. And if I look at my scripture correctly, it's not Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter. And Jesus was a carpenter before Skill Saw. He was a carpenter before any of these power tools. So anything a carpenter did in those days was 100% by hand. He didn't have tools to lift things up and all that. Did it by hand. I kind of picture Jesus almost being like Arnold Schwarzenegger and looking that way. Dark skin, dark hair, muscular, buff kind of guy. I don't see Him as being some weakling. And people say, oh, He was so meek. Yeah, He absolutely was meek. Don't confuse meek with weakness. Meek is strength. And y'all, he cleared out the church one day. Some little weak, bony runt's not going to do that and get away with it. He did it because He was in full control and had full authority. I meant to bring one with me today, and I didn't, but most people in here knows what a jack-in-the-box is. And for some of y'all now, that's not, I know it's a hamburger joint, but that's not what I'm talking about. Jack-in-the-box, you know, you have this little box and had a little handle on the side, and you'd spin it. And all of a sudden, the top would pop open. And this wicked-looking clown would jump out at you. And it's awesome to see little kids do that the first time. It's awesome to see their reaction. But I think sometimes we treat God as if He is a jack-in-the-box. I think I need a little bit of God today, so let's spin it. Do-do-do-do-little pop-up. Hey, Jesus, here's what I need today. Back in there. I'm done with you today. Uh-oh, things are getting bad. I mean, real fast. Hey, you know, there's times I remember kids saying, how fast can I get it to do that? It'd pop up. And then there's other times we just put our hand on top of God and say, I don't need you right now. Listen, God, I know you've got a plan for my life, but I'll tell you what. When you need me, I'll call you. When God is good and sovereign and in complete control, and He wants to be in our lives daily, every second, He wants to be the driving force, the leader of our lives, and most times we put our hands on Him and keep Him within the box. and do not allow him to be God. We treat him like that jack in the box. If you need me, God, I'll call you. But here's the key. When I realize and understand God's sovereignty, I then realize nobody's in control but God. Nobody is in control but him. And God does as he pleases. Can we agree on that? I mean, the scripture says it, Psalm 24, the 24th Psalm, first verse, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Things kind of to infinity and beyond. I created it, it's mine, I'm in control of it, and even everything that is in it, meaning I am under his authority. Now, just because I may look and say, you're not my boss, does not make him not my boss. Guys, you know, us married guys, you know, I'm the boss. When my wife tells me I can be. I'm under God's authority. Whether I agree with him or whether I like it, if I don't want to accept it, it doesn't change the fact. He is still supreme. And listen, the world today goes no further than the point of our nose most of the times. And we're so worried about what people think. We're so worried about what somebody's opinion about us is going to be. Listen, somebody might say, God's in control. It's all his. We just read that. The world, everything, it's all his. He created it. Somebody might come to me, for example, and say, I don't like your house. I don't like the way your furniture is sitting. I don't like the way you've landscaped it. Well, you know what? When you start paying my bills, you start taking care of things, then you can have an opinion. But at this point, your opinion is moot. It's kind of the way with God. I can go to God and tell God, you ain't doing this right. You need to do this. You need to do this. And God says, until you become an authority of things, you be quiet. I'm in control. This is mine. I paid the mortgage for this. When I allowed my son to go to the cross, I paid the mortgage on this house. And I own you because I created you. But you got a choice. You can choose to come under my sovereignty and be a child of mine, or you can live on your own and do as you please. That's your choice. That's my choice. I choose Jesus. I'll choose him every time. And his sovereignty, let's don't take this lightly. It is not just a passing thought. It is very important to understand that. Let me give you some scripture references on that. Job, the 23rd chapter, 13th verse says, what he desires, that he does. Job 42nd chapter, 2nd verse, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Listen, the scripture just tells me nothing is going to stop God's purpose. Nobody, no country, no leader, me, you, we are not going to stop God's purpose. God is going to do as God desires. Come on down to the 115th Psalm, the 3rd verse. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Psalm 135th, 6th verse. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. Proverb 16th chapter, 4th verse. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. God didn't make wicked people, but he can take wicked people and work his purpose. Because he's in control. He is the authority. Not anybody else, not anything else. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, 7th verse. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. God creates calamity. You don't think when God dropped onto the earth in the form of Jesus that that didn't create calamity? Ask the government. It was absolutely calamity at the time. But God was in authority and was working his purpose. And he does as he desires. He does as he desires. Look at, and not only Old Testament, New Testament, Ephesians, the first chapter, 11th verse, says God works all things after the counsel of his will. Romans, the 11th chapter, 36th verse, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and amen. It's all about him. From him, for him, to him. It is all about God because he is sovereign. He is the single one authority in this world. Him alone and nobody else. Revelation, like this, 19th chapter, 6th verse. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. My God reigns. He is the authority. He is sovereign. He's ruling through the chaos. When chaos hits your life, he is ruling through that chaos. When things are going bad, he rules through the bad. When things are going great, he is ruling through the great. When things are falling apart, he is ruling through the falling aparts. Because he's in charge. And I have no choice. Well, I do. I have a choice to follow it or not. But I'm going to tell you, the outcome is a whole lot better if I follow his leadership and remain under his authority. When I remain under his authority, I can lay my burden down and say, it's not my problem. Talk to the one in charge because he'll speak to it. And I just have to step back and say, he's got it. He's in control. He's the boss. So many times at my work, and all of us probably at our jobs, at some point you're going to be asked something that you really can't give the answer to. You know the answer, but you can't be the official voice on it. And I'll say, well, hey, most of them I'll say, that's above my pay grade. You're going to need to speak with so-and-so. He or she can approve that. Listen, I can look at any situation, and I'm going to say, you can talk to the pay grade above me. You can talk to the authority, because the authority has the final word. Because my God is sovereign and in control. Then we get down to decisions and choices. Let me tell you this. There was an old cowboy. Old cowboy had a ranch for years, and he finally decided one day, you know, I might need some insurance. I might need some health insurance. So he gets cleaned up in his best bolo tie, and he goes downtown, strolls into the insurance office, talks to the fella, and he said, I'd like to get me some health insurance and some life insurance. He said, that's great. I'll fix you up. So I got a couple of questions. He said, let's start with this one. Have you had any accidents? He said, well, I've been bit by a rattlesnake. I've been kicked in the chest by a horse. And I've been run over by a stampede of cows. But I ain't never really had any accidents. The insurance agent said, now, wait a minute. He said, you just told me that you've been bit by a rattlesnake and you've been kicked in the chest by a horse and you've been run over by a herd of cows. Aren't those accidents? He said, no, they did it on purpose. Listen, what we learn from that is that everything is right under God's right hand. He's in control of everything. Nothing is an accident to God. Nothing surprises God. Nothing is a shock. Not one time has God said, well, I didn't see that coming. Because he knows all. He sees all. He created it. And he knows how your life is going to end. He knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. Some of you, it's not hard for him to count. But he knows, and he knows the day that we are going to leave this earth because he is the authority. What about my choices? If God is sovereign, maybe you're asking, why can I not just sit back, do as I please, and just watch what God does? Good question. And here's the best way I'm going to describe that. The best answer I got for you. Besides, he's in control. I have a set destination. God has a set purpose for my life. And God may say, Marty, this is an example. His purpose for his will to be done and for me to be involved in that may be on Market Square downtown. And I'm at my house. And God says, Marty, this is my plan. And I want you a part of my plan. So I want you to go to Market Square. Good God. I get in my car at my house. And I can, let's just say I don't know how to get there, but I program it into a GPS. Now, it tells me the shortest, quickest way to get there. But along that path between my house and Market Square, one turn different, and I probably have 3,000 ways to get there. It doesn't change. My choice does not change God's purpose. My choice does not change God's plan. But God may have to reroute me to get me to his purpose. Do you see what I'm saying? My choice didn't change his purpose. My choice changed my route. Now, I'm not talking about there's a whole bunch of gods and they all lead to one place. Absolutely not. There's one God, one supreme authority. That's God himself. So my choices don't affect God's purpose. It affects me. And it may, and then God can change my route those 500 or 600 different times, but his purpose is going to be his purpose. And I can't change it because he's God and he's in control and he is the authority. So the best thing to do, get on your knees and pray and just follow the route. And you get on that route, sometimes things may look great over here. I was telling a guy yesterday, when we used to have, you know, before you really had GPS on your phone, we had a GPS in the car. This would drive Jennifer crazy because you know what I changed the voice of mine to? Homer Simpson. And along that path, there were distractions when Homer was given directions. Here was one of my favorite ones. If you were within the vicinity, Homer would go, donuts. And I'm like, Homer is speaking my love language. Now, I could get off that path and go to those donuts, or I could stay straight and go where I needed to go. But if I get off to the side, God will get me back on track if I'll just listen. But let me tell you, sometimes if I get off track, getting back on track, there's going to be some consequences to that. And I have to suffer through that because of my choices, not because of God's purpose. God is in charge. I see God's sovereignty in creation. When we look around, you can see that. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse says this. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we exist. We exist through Jesus. I am attached to him. And if I ever become detached from him, I'm dead. I am dead in the water. Right there. It's like cutting a limb off of a tree. That tree is the source of that life of that limb. But once that limb comes off, that limb is dead. If I am detached from Jesus, I no longer exist. I cannot exist apart from him. But here's what I want you to do. Let's back up to the 5th verse. Listen to this. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, and indeed there are many gods and many lords. And in your text, I want you to look at that. Gods and lords is in the lower, it is not capitalized. It is in the lower case, meaning it's not the real one. Let me read it again. For although there may be so-called gods in heavens or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through him we exist. There are a lot of gods. There are a lot of lords, but there is one that I exist through. There is one that you exist through, and that is Jesus Christ. Look, this made the difference. The cross made the difference. He died for me because he loved me. He died for you because he loves you. The non-believer, the worst sinner that you can think of, that you personally know, let me tell you something, and they're apart from God, let me tell you what, he died for them too. Because he loved them as much as he loved us. And he did that for us because he loves us. Sovereign forever. Forever. From before beginning to after the end, he is sovereign. I can't revolt against it. No group. I like it. Again it. Don't that sound like Barney or Andy? No group can revolt and overtake God. They can think they can. And they'll say, hey, you know, I think God's kingdom and we as the church are a part of that kingdom. And in the kingdom and in the church, we have these little groups sometimes that want to form in the darkness or get behind some doors. Or maybe in the kingdom, there's a little group that says, I don't like what God's doing. Let's go in here. Close that door. Turn the light out. Let's talk about this because we're going to revolt and we're going to rise up. And God is sitting there because he is omnipresent. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks, meaning God is everywhere. You can whisper. You can write a note and you can do whatever you want to do and try to come against the kingdom of God. And God is right there looking over the shoulder and seeing what you're writing out. God is hearing every word that we say. God knows our plans. He says, I bring light. So what in our darkness and in our sin, what God does is turn on the light, reveal it, and said, that's not of me. And when we are doing things that are not of God, we are not of God. It's just the truth. Listen, stay on track. Stay focused. Stay with God. And his sovereignty and our identification and how we see ourselves, this all collides. And let me tell you what God then does. He takes his sovereignty, his authority. He takes us in the ugliness of our sin, and he starts mixing all this stuff up, and he throws in and he mixes it with the Holy Spirit. And what comes out of that is something better than I can ever imagine. Because God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. They are his thoughts. He is above me. That's what the scripture says. And when he takes this, and when I give him my life, when I give him my sin, and he takes himself, and he throws all of me into all of him, and meshes all that together with the Holy Spirit, he puts me on a trajectory that changes my life. I realize his authority, and I know that he's in control, and I don't have to be, and then I know I am where I am supposed to be, and I can be the person he has made me to be because he is in charge. His sovereignty, we can see his sovereignty in our sin. Well, what about our sin? God didn't create it. We read that last week. He doesn't tempt us with it. He allows sin, but he didn't create it. He allows it. He allows it to go on. So then, here's the thing that we got to conclude from that. If we really think about that, he didn't create it. He just allows it to go on. We've got to conclude this, that God gets more glory with the presence of sin. Because where there is sin, there can be God's mercy and grace. And glory can come of that. I watched a documentary about a doctor in England. Dr. Kypros Nicolaides. And he is a physician that specializes in vitro procedures on twins. And when there's one twin that is maybe getting more blood than the other one, there's more blood flow to one than the other one. And you can see this on, I'll tell you later if you come up and ask me, I'll think of it. But what he does, and this mother is laying there, and I've said, I'm going to write him a letter. I think he's got to be the most compassionate physician I've ever seen. And the mother is laying there wide awake during this, and they do it in the office. And the husband's in there, and the doctor, with one hand, he holds her hand. And he's word by word telling her what's about to happen. And he takes a probe and goes into her belly, in within the sac of where that child, those two children are. And he can perform a procedure that will equal out that blood flow in about 15 minutes. While mom is awake and he's holding her hand, her husband's got the other one. And he can fix that. Now, Dr. Nicolaides didn't create that problem. It exists, but he can fix it. God allows sin to exist, but he can work through that sin to clean us up and change a life to where we are fully alive and his blood is flowing through us. He equals it out. Listen, as a child of God, I have places to sit in heaven with Jesus Christ. I am a joint heir with him. I inherit God. I inherit his everything he owns. I inherit a place to live because of my Father, who is in charge and sovereign, the ultimate authority. Romans, the 5th chapter, 8th verse says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me. He knew from the time that the waters, it was just dark and there was just waters. God looked down through time to June the 7th, 1967, and said, there is a filthy sinner going to be born in Langdale, Alabama, at Lanier Memorial Hospital, and his name is Martin Edward Henry, and I know he's going to be full of sin, but yet I'm going to die for him. And the same thing for you. Think God looked down to the time of the day of your birth and says, I love you so much that on that date, I know you're a sinner right from the first breath you take, and I'm still going to die for you because I love you, because I created you. I want you in relationship with me. I want us together forever, one day in heaven. I love you. Can I not express that? That even as dirty as you are, as dirty as you, I know you're going to be, I will still die for you. We were sinners, and he still did it. Romans, the 1st chapter, the 18th verse. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness repress the truth. Look, without God, without sin, God's holiness and his grace and his mercy could not be fully seen. I see it when I look where I came from and when I collided with God and the Holy Spirit, all that mixed up, and then I see where I'm at. And I realize, ain't God good? God is incredible. He is in charge. Ephesians, the second chapter, the first through the tenth verse. Let me read that. Ephesians, second chapter, first through the tenth verse. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God... I like that, because when you hear those two words together, you know something good is about to happen. But God, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with in them. God had a plan. God's got a purpose for me. God created me. He is in control, and he wants me to live his purposes. I exist through Jesus, and I can get things done for Jesus when I do what he says. And I'm created for him and the purposes that he has. I am saved by his grace. By his grace alone. I could never earn it. You can't write a big enough check. You can't hit the buttons on the app and put enough money into this church to get you into heaven. You're just going to be a well-paying sinner in hell without Jesus. You might scrub the walls, vacuum the carpet, cut the grass. You may do all that stuff, be here every time the doors are open. But without Jesus, you're just another sinner that is choosing hell over him. And that's on our choices, not on his choice. And the second thing here is the allowance of sin and evil. I think that God allows it just to prove the point that nothing can take him down. You've heard people say, hey, Jesus showed up and showed out. And I think that's basically what this is. It's there. Hey, watch this. It's not going to prevail. Nothing is going to prevail over God. And God allows sin to go on, and he allows us to live in it. But because he loves us, he gives us the choice. See, God didn't come in, kick the door down, and say, you are mine, you have no choice. No, doesn't. I think the scripture says, there's a knock. What you going to do with that knock at the door? Now, if y'all are like me at my house, if I'm not expecting somebody... Because 99.9% of the time it's some salesman. When that knock comes, I got a choice to go open it, or I got a choice to ignore it. And the choice is 100% mine. And Jesus is knocking. So, hey, if you'll let me in, I'll come in. And we're going to sit down and have a meal together like friends. The New Living Translation. I love that translation of that verse and that scripture there. God allows that sin to really demonstrate how great and holy and sovereign he is. And if we can ever get this right in understanding the sovereignty of God, it will completely change our existence and the trajectory of our lives. If we can just get that right in understanding God. And the last thing is His sovereignty brings me comfort and it brings me confidence. Comfort and confidence is what His sovereignty does for me. He'll provide. Philippians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse. Probably a lot of you can quote this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, let me just kind of put you in Marty's terms. As Christ supplies, I can do. Whatever He supplies me with, I can do it. Whatever God tells me to do, no matter how it appears, I can do it. No matter the hurdle I got to leap, if God says leap, I'm going to clear it. Not going to say I'm not going to scuff my shin as I go over, but I'm going over. I can be caught in my sin, and God can say, Marty, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to get you through it. And I'll say, okay, God, I'm with you. Please help me with my sin. Get me through it. And I'm through it. Going to be some consequences, but God gets me through it every time. Comfort in our circumstances. He'll bring us comfort in every circumstance. One day, let me tell you, all y'all know this. One day you can wake up and you're on top of the world. Nothing can beat you that day. And by the afternoon, you're in the deepest valley. You can be on the top and you can be on the bottom. But God's sovereignty is in charge all the time. When you are in your deepest, darkest crevice in the valley, God's still in charge. God is still in control. When you're up on the highest mountain and you're celebrating your greatest moments in life, God is there. And please don't forget Him when you're up here. Because He's as much on the mountaintop as He is in the valley. He is just as in control in every place. If I'm on the top of the mountain at the moment, it's because God put me there. If I am in the valley, I can tell you this, God has allowed me to get in the valley, but God's walking right along with me. If I would just acknowledge He's in control and let Him be God. I told you earlier, seen about 4 accidents in the last couple weeks. Saw one this week. That happened so close and so fast that I literally saw the vehicle in the air before it came back down. It was in 100 yards. I was in a parking lot when it happened on the street. And I thought, 3 minutes, if I had left 3 minutes later from my house, that could have been me. But God is sovereign. And it wasn't my place to be there. That wasn't my God's plan for me that day. When death comes knocking, God's in control. God's got it. When sickness comes knocking, God's in control. Listen, He can take all that bad stuff and use it for His purpose. And we can be a part of it if we want to. If we choose to, we can be a part of God's great purpose for our life. And it starts with acknowledging and giving Him authority over our life. Asking Him to forgive us of our sins. Because His Son Jesus died on the cross. And His sovereignty gives me confidence. Gives me confidence. He's in control. He's the decision maker. One less thing I got to worry about today. Matter of fact, Scripture says I shouldn't worry at all because He's in control of it all. He created it all. He owns it. He made it. He's in charge of everything that He made and what's in it that He created. He's in charge of that. And it gives me confidence to know that there's somebody greater and bigger than me that makes all my decisions for me if I'm just willing to follow. Now, I'm not telling you life is a bed of roses when you accept Christ as a Savior. No. Because I'm going to tell you, I think before Christ is when our life is easy. It's when we start following Christ and we start acknowledging His ways and following Him because they're different from mine. That's when it gets difficult, when I got to turn over authority and let loose. I like being in control. Don't like flying because I'm not driving. I want to be in charge. But there's somebody better at flying that plane than me. Look, there's somebody better at this life than me. And if I'll just turn it over to Him and let Him have control. Romans 8, chapter 28, verse says, God causes all things to work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God can take the calamity and make it good. That's what that scripture's saying. He can take it all that bad and He can make it good. His sovereignty excites me. It really excites me. There is God, listen, God is in control. And when God says, here's my purpose for Arlington Baptist Church, listen, it don't matter how big that goal is, we can achieve it. Because God says it's the goal. All you got to do is just follow. I don't know how that's going to work. Hey, that's going to make it even greater. People are going to say, how'd y'all do that? No clue. Only answer I got is God. Nothing is too big for my God. And when God says do, we just need to do. When God says sit still, we just need to sit still. Because He is in charge. And I'm going to close you with this verse here. Luke, the first chapter, 37th verse, says nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Listen, nothing is impossible in your life with God. And God is just saying, come into relationship with me. I want to be your leader. I want to be your dad. If you'll just turn it over to me. And now you have that chance. This altar's open. Johnny's going to be here. John's over there. I'll probably be in the back. If you need to talk to us or have questions for us, you need us to pray for you, you come on. And God's calling, let me be your sovereign God. Let's stand and let's pray. Bow your heads. God, we love you so much. Thank you for being sovereign. Thank you for being in complete control. Thank you for creating me for works that you had planned for me if I'm just willing to follow you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.